You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 20th, 2020. Yes, a lot of attention now focusing on Virginia. Richmond, Virginia. Stacks of chain link fencing, white covered tents, rows of metal detectors, all in place. Put in place overnight around Virginia's capital in Richmond. And now they have a massive gun rights rally underway. Thousands from across the country are expected to attend and simply show their support for the Second Amendment. However, there are those who will come and try to hijack the event, and on both sides. That's why there's been concern. We had the story the other day that at least three members of a neo-Nazi group that hoping to spark a civil war were planning on showing up, shooting people, in other words, making it a race war. They're trying to hijack our basic premise of using our First Amendment right to support our Second Amendment right. And then you also have on the other side, Antifa. Antifa supposedly bringing busloads of people in. Now, I've heard the governor of Virginia, Democrat, say we're not going to have any violence here. We're not going to have a repeat of what we've seen previously. Well, if that's true, if that is absolutely true, then I would expect him to make sure that no Antifa demonstrators are allowed to march with their faces covered. Anybody that covers their face, left or right, should be arrested on the spot if they don't remove their face mask so we can identify them. But that's not really where they're pushing it. They're pushing it to say all the violence will come from gun-toting, Second Amendment, Bible-thumping Americans. It's not true. But we do have to be aware, not only those who will try to hijack it, but those who will do something stupid. And in fact, one councilman, a Portsmouth, Virginia councilman, participated in his city's Second Amendment sanctuary vote while carrying an AR-15. Look, I know many of you carry, but why would you carry in open like that just because, even though you have the right to do, why do that? Why create anger and dissension and possible violence? Just don't do it. We're going to get into that in a lot more detail. The impeachment tomorrow, it will start. At least some of the ground rules will be laid out, and already senators are complaining. And I mean not just the senators who are going to have to be locked up and can't be on the campaign trail. Senators Bennett and Sanders and Warren and Klobuchar, but even some Republican senators say, I'm not going to like this. But then you've got Congresswoman Maxine Waters saying the impeachment will go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and on, and on until Trump is impeached. Anyway, go again. She is out for scalps, Donald Trump's scalp. We're going to get into that a little bit later. So then we have an endorsement. We have an endorsement for Democrat candidates, by the way. The New York Times coming out with an endorsement. However, this is interesting. We'll break that down for you. And you remember, of course, last week we had Senator McSally being approached, questioned in the hallway by a CNN reporter, and she said, get away from me, you're nothing but a liberal hack. Now, in defense of the reporter and the question he was asking, legitimate question, would you be willing to call witnesses for the Senate impeachment hearing? That's a legitimate question, but she had already had it up with him, been fed up with him and his like, saying you're nothing but political hack, stay away. Well, the fallout continues over that. I'll bring you up to date on that. And, of course, marking the assassination of Martin Luther King today, I want to replay some of his I Have a Dream speech, and I want you to hear from his niece, Alveda King, and what she believes about Donald Trump and when it comes to racism. By the way, that book by 5 times New York best-selling author, Breitbart News senior editor Frieder Schweitzer, getting ready to come out, titled Profiles in Corruption, Dealing with the Bidens. This book is already taking off, and it's not really fully out, but we're going to see, apparently, a lot of things come out dealing with the Bidens, and a lot of folks are anxious to buy that book and get into it. So we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours for you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you. Susie Q.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have received credible intelligence from our law enforcement agencies that there are groups with malicious plans for the rally that is planned for Monday. This includes out-of-state militia groups and hate groups planning to travel from across the country to disrupt our democratic process with acts of violence. They are not coming to peacefully protest. They are coming to intimidate and to cause harm.
The words of Governor Northam, Virginia Governor Northam, and saying we're not going to have what we saw happen in Charlottesville. Already hinting, suggesting it might anyway. Now, this intel he's talking about, and you heard him talking about groups coming to disrupt and cause trouble. He would have you believe, of course, that's all reference gun-toting Americans coming in and going to cause trouble and shoot them up, Wild West style. The intel, if they're being honest about it, also has to be monitoring, should be monitoring, the leftist-type groups, Antifa, and other such groups. Yes, that would include Black Lives Matter in some cases. Not all of them. That's another group, by the way, I pointed out repeatedly, that started on a lie, hands up, don't shoot, out of the Ferguson shooting in Ferguson, Missouri. But it had a basic import that, you know, we're important. We're important. We're valuable. And that I agree with. My only problem is you can't just be Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But gave them a little shade and let it kind of go a little bit, but then it got hijacked by radical groups calling out for roasting pigs, Black Lives Matter. That hijacked. That was hijacked. And then in turn, Black Lives Matter and that kind of attitude got endorsed by the Obama White House being brought in. All of this is to say, any of these groups that have a legitimate standing in Second Amendment rights, against Second Amendment rights, for Confederate statues, against Confederate statues, they can be hijacked. And when they are, all hell breaks loose. But where are we getting the import, the idea from the Virginia governor that their real threat is coming from armed Americans? Now, and yes, there was an FBI report, as we said earlier in the opening commentary, that reported that three alleged members of a white supremacist group had been arrested on gun charges that they planned to attend the Richmond rally and incite violence. So the governor asked all non-essential staff today to stay home, many lawmakers urging their aides to stay away. Committees are meeting, both chambers convening floor sessions, Virginia Senate and House pages given the day off for safety. The rally organized by the Virginia Citizens Defense League, structured as Lobby Day, the day for pro-Second Amendment citizens to show up to support gun rights. They're there legitimately. And yet we keep hearing their intel reports that those others will be coming, someone will be coming and causing trouble. I think it's good for intel to be spread among the agencies, be aware and so forth. But what I don't like is that as I watch the mainstream media approach it, and their attitude is the threat comes only from one source. I'm looking at a piece from NBC News, Ben Collins. Had put out a tweet, which has now been removed from his account, sent out last night describing today's Second Amendment rally, the Lobby Day event, as, quote, a white nationalist rally. A white nationalist rally? I think if you're an American citizen of legal age, not guilty of any crimes and charged with such crimes, I don't care what your color is, you have a Second Amendment right to own a weapon. It's not just a white citizen's right. There was a time that was true, but that's not true now, and I wouldn't stand for that. All Americans of whatever color, if they're legal, and if they are not facing criminal charges and have not had their weapons taken away for some reason, have a right to have a Second Amendment. But NBC News' Ben Collins put out on his tweet, reporters covering tomorrow's white nationalist rally in Virginia, I'm absolutely begging you, verify information before you send it out tomorrow, even if it's a very sensational rumor you heard from a cop. Don't become a hero in neo-Nazi propaganda circles with made-up stuff. And Michael Bloomberg's funding, of course, Moms Demand Action, they had a similar approach. They're also trying to tie the Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions in Virginia to extremists. They even claimed that Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions issued in defense of Second Amendment rights, quote, actually threaten the safety of communities nationwide by fostering violence and the threat of such. But again, the governor the other day, citing violent rhetoric, possibly could happen, so he declared a state of emergency. A state of emergency from the other day until tomorrow. And he's banning, during this, the exercise of Second Amendment on the Virginia Capitol grounds, where they're holding that rally at this very moment. Banning you having a weapon on the Virginia Capitol grounds. I'm not going to get into what laws exist where you can and can't carry anyway, regardless of Second Amendment rights. But I want you again to hear the governor as he talks about the threat and the intel and listening. And in listening, you're going to hear it's really aimed only at Americans who might believe in the Second Amendment.
This intelligence comes from mainstream channels, both offline and online, such as alternative dark web channels used by violent groups and white nationalists from outside Virginia. But no one wants another incident like the one we saw in Charlottesville in 2017. We will not allow that mayhem and violence to happen here.
Now, the Virginia Citizens Defense League president told Fox News, it's not the pro-gun groups that are striking fear. He said, it's the Democrats. It's almost like they want something to happen. It sounds crazy, but they keep doing it, and you have to wonder if that's intentional. He also said, membership in his organization, Virginia's Citizens Defense League, tripling in the past 6 weeks, more than 10,000 signing up for free email alerts. And he says, to that extent, you can also blame and or thank the Democrats and Governor Ralph Northam. He said they have clearly, quote, declared war on gun owners. And so he's counting on gun rights advocates to show up Monday today to have their collective voices heard. And they are. They're having many show up. And it's been peaceful so far. But the underlying threat and concern for many going to this rally and those watching from afar is expressed by a woman who talked to Fox News. She's a mother of three. And she said, they're trying to take our guns, and that's not going to happen. We won't stand for it. This wouldn't happen if Republicans were still running things. And she's talking about what happened this last November. Democrats in Virginia flipped the Senate and House of Delegates, giving them control of both the governor's office and the legislature for the first time in a generation. Let this be a warning to you. Let this be a warning to you if you think the only thing you really were worried about or want to see happen come November, that Trump be reelected. Yes, we want that to happen. But we do not want to see Senate seats flipping and going to the Democrats, because you know what would happen if they still maintain control of the House. There will be another impeachment, even if Trump's elected, and this time they will carry it all the way through. Even though it may be based on false premise and lies, they will do so. And to that extent in the House, we do not want to see more Democrats in the House. This election, this November, is basically for the soul of this nation and our future and your children's future and their children's future. Because with this would come, one, if the president had Republicans in both the House and the Senate, some of the bills and the efforts he's tried to get passed would be done. And if they're not, then we're going to hold some other, quote, Republicans accountable. The other point being judicial appointments at the federal level. That's why we want President Trump, but we also need a Senate held by Republicans who will endorse his nominations. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, wish her the best, but she's getting on in age. She may or may not be able to continue to be on the bench for another a year, 2 years, maybe on a month, who knows. But before Trump's second term would end, she will be leaving the bench, I'm sure of that. So who do you think should be there to appoint him? And who should be in the Senate to confirm that we have a constitutional Supreme Court justice and Supreme Court members, as opposed to having someone that might go whichever way the wind is blowing? So we'll continue to watch and monitor this rally. The governor, Northam, of course, is promising to push through gun control measures now that he has a House and Senate under his control in his state. He said it's a top priority for Virginia Democrats, and that's true. And, of course, gun rights advocates are convinced he is trying to take away their rights. The Second Amendment under very serious attack, according to President Trump. He tweeted out, your Second Amendment is under very serious attack in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. That's what happens when you vote for Democrats. They will take your guns away. Republicans will win Virginia in 2020. Thank you, Dems. I hope he's right. Because last week, three gun control bills advanced in the General Assembly of Virginia. Now, they all set the stage for a showdown between gun rights advocates and Democrat lawmakers. The bill sailing through the Senate Judiciary Committee would require background checks on all firearms purchases. That means if you wanted to sell me your gun, you couldn't do it unless we had a full background check. If you're buying through a dealer, it's run through background checks anyway. It would allow law enforcement to temporarily remove guns from people deemed to be a risk to themselves or others, the so-called red flag rule. So if someone doesn't like you, they don't like the way you cut your grass, or the fact that you're always working your yard making theirs look bad, they can call and say, you've got a gun, they need to be checked out, they're a little anal. And then there's a rule that would limit handgun purchases to once a month and let localities decide on whether to ban weapons from certain events, which is somewhat done anyway. But limiting you to one gun a month, I don't know what purpose that's even supposed to serve except for control, to show you control. Has nothing to do with gun safety, has nothing to do with anything when it comes to gun safety. It's just a matter of keeping you under control. So far, quiet, no violence in Virginia. Hopefully it will stay that way. We'll take a break when we come back. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, oh, she wants the scalp of Donald Trump. And if they don't get it this time, she's not going to stop. She is on the warpath. That story, still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, President Trump already on the tweet machine, and he's going to continue once this impeachment gets underway. Today he's blasting Democrats, saying they, Democrats, did not want John Bolton and others in the House. They were in too much of a rush. Now they want them all in the Senate. Not supposed to be that way. He's referring to the Democrats now trying to get his ex-National Security Advisor, John Bolton, to testify. And then he added, crying Chuck Schumer, now asking for fairness, when he and the House Democrat members worked together to make sure I got zero fairness in the House. So what else is new? Well, you know, to that point, it's still undecided if we're going to see witnesses called or not. Some have taken the attitude, Senator Lindsey Graham, like, let's just don't give this thing any more air. Let's just punch the balloon and let it fizzle. And it's done. We're out of here. Dismiss it. Others have said, no, we want to put witnesses in. And Senator Ted Cruz has said, reciprocity. You bring a witness, we bring a witness. Well, to that extent, Congresswoman Maxine Waters said, that's fine. That's fine. They can call whomever they want. We know, should they call Biden, they're attempting to distract attention from what the president is accused of. In other words, she has no problems with us calling the Bidens, either Joe or Hunter, in exchange and reciprocity if they decide to call John Bolton, even Mike Pence or Rudy Giuliani. But in the words of Maxine Waters, as she was speaking on one of the network programs, MSNBC, over the weekend, she makes it clear, we're not going to be done until we have Donald Trump's scalp one way or the other.
Let me just say this. All of us have the responsibility for oversight. Yes, I have subpoenaed documents from Deutsche Bank. Yes, I am concerned about the financial affairs of the President of the United States, including money laundering, and I'm continuing with that. As a matter of fact, the subpoenas that I have issued that's gone through the lower courts are now going to be heard at the Supreme Court in March. We will not stop. Whether or not that leads to another impeachment activity, I don't know. But I know we must continue with the work that our constituents have elected us to come to Congress to do.
But you haven't. You haven't done the work they elected you to do. You spent all your time and your capital and your effort on impeaching Donald Trump from the beginning. You haven't done the work your constituents elected you to do. But again, a question being raised to her, what if the president is ultimately acquitted by the Senate? Do you see the House taking up other articles of impeachment against him? And her answer, yes, we will not stop. Does that not give you the entire picture in just a few words? We will not stop. In those few words, you understand what the Democrats are doing? They are, one, going to disenfranchise everyone who voted for Donald Trump the first time around. And then if, and I'm convinced he will win 2020, but when he does, if he does, they're going to try to impeach again, and they'll take away your vote again if they can. All right, so where are we going with this impeachment at this point? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll give you a better perspective on what's going to happen, and it all starts tomorrow. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely, you gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So President Trump's legal team today filing a lengthy response charging their response to the Democrats and the, quote, impeachment, that he abused his office, whatever the hell that means, and obstructed Congress, which every president has at one time or another, because that's part of the checks and balances. Show me one piece that they've charged him with in the impeachment that you can find that correlates to the U.S. Constitution. I'll say, oh, go ahead, do your best. They're going to do it anyway, but I mean, they got nothing at this point. So today, the legal team on behalf of the president sent a 110-page filing over, rebutting, of course, the accusations that the president abused his office and attempted to impede congressional investigators. There was a shorter document that was filed Saturday laying out Trump's arguments against impeachment. The response, which called the articles, quote, constitutionally invalid, and claim they're simply an attack on Americans, and arguing that the changes in the articles and procedure are just wrong. The document submitted today expanding on those arguments and details and offering some examples of what Trump's legal team claims are reason the impeachment is invalid. So how long could this go on? Some have said allowing the time for the House managers, you can also flat out call them prosecutors because that's what they are. They're coming over to prosecute the president, and they will have all their time. They'll get 24 hours, probably broken up into at least 2 days, probably three, who knows at this point, because there'll be issues that will come up from time to time, and Supreme Court Justice Roberts, who has now been sworn in to preside over it, will have to make, quote, parliamentary-type rulings or whatever. But could this go for 2 weeks, shorter, longer? Here's a view of Senator Ted Cruz.
I think it's certainly possible that this trial could last 1 to 2 weeks. On the other hand, if the Senate makes the decision to go down the road of additional witnesses, that could extend it to 6, 8 weeks or even longer. So I think there are really two paths here. But what you just noted there is important. This week is going to be the first time in a year that the president has had the opportunity to defend himself, to lay out the facts, to lay out the law, to lay out the actual substance. We've seen months and months and months of a one-sided show trial from House Democrats where they didn't want to hear from the defense, where they shut out the White House, where they shut out the minority. The good news is in the Senate, what I'm confident of, is we're going to have a fair trial. We're not going to give in to the kind of games that House Democrats have played. Instead, we're going to give both sides a full and fair opportunity to present their case. The House managers will have every opportunity to stand up and to present their arguments, to put forth whatever evidence they have. But for the first time, the president, the White House defense team, is going to be able to walk through the facts and substance. And I think that's a very, very important development.
The words of Senator Ted Cruz speaking on Fox Sunday News with Marie Bartiromo over the weekend. Now, if you look at how we're going to see the media cover this compared to what they did in the Clinton case, in 1999, the broadcast networks were reluctant to even bother covering it for any extended period of time. In fact, all three major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, cut their live coverage after 90 minutes on the first day. PBS was the only one running live gavel-to-gavel coverage. This time around, good luck with finding anything else on TV. Good thing you've got maybe 195 different channels you can go to, and maybe only 40 of them will be free of this, but you'll find something you can watch maybe. Or bring up reruns of MASH or something like that. Or reruns of Larry Connors anchoring the news. I don't care. Something other than this, not likely going to happen. But we're also seeing the attitude in how the networks described the Clinton impeachment at that time in the media versus what we're seeing now. In fact, I'm reading one piece here from MSNBC. Given during the live coverage of Clinton's State of the Union, January 1999. Americans must look at this. If 57 million people look at this and go, where's impeachment? Why is this happening? Will these people just get down to business and leave this impeachment thing alone? That was the attitude of, quote, the liberal media at that time. Oh, shoot. That's right. That was Bill Clinton was in office in, not Donald Trump. Ah, there's my difference again. Sometimes I forget. Not likely. Now, there's going to be some things that are going to make it very difficult for some of these senators. For one, of course, those who are anxiously trying to campaign to be the next president, four of them will have to be locked up in the Senate. And they're going to have to work Saturdays, too. This is something no senators do normally. They don't work on a Saturday. They barely work through the week. They're certainly not going to work Saturday. I mean, what's a weekend anyway? But they're going to have to as this goes forward. And those four, Klobuchar, Warren, Sanders, Bennett, will not be able to be out campaigning when they want to be. So what they're going to do? Well, they're going to send out surrogates, family and friends. And, of course, I can tell you right now what they're going to say. Oh, Bernie would love to be here with you, but of course he's got to be there to do what needs to be done to get rid of this awful president. Each of those candidates are going to have folks out there saying how tough it is for them in the Senate, and they'd rather be here with you, eating your pie and kissing babies, campaigning for your vote, but they got to be locked up inside the Senate. And they cannot have cell devices on the Senate either. They cannot have cell devices. No beepers, no phones. My God, it's like going back to the 1800s. Let's go to the first impeachment. And they're not going to be allowed to speak either. They're going to have to sit silently while the other side's presenting it. Now, let's break that down a bit. When it comes down to not having devices to take away their time, send text messages themselves, call out, whatever, they had to be in there, inside the Senate, in their chair, not communicating in any fashion. Lisa Murkowski, Alaska Republican, said it's going to be beautifully old-fashioned. Even a Democrat, Ben Cardin of Maryland, said this is going to be a real plus. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky jokes that, hey, in light of the no talking, no devices rule, I'm thinking about blinking to someone in the audience, transmit my messages, because I want to make sure that I'm communicating live. Don't tell anyone, though. We can't divulge our secrets. But he's suggesting I'll be blinking at someone in the galleries, so they can tell what I'm thinking. And when it comes to the no talking rule, well, Democrat John Tester, Montana, with a smile, said it's going to be devastating for some senators. Even Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida said, that's going to suck. He said, I agree it's going to be hard. And then added sarcastically, I think we'll survive. Democrat Schatz of Hawaii said that no talking requirement shouldn't be that difficult. The rules are there for a reason, he said. We spend the lion's share of every day yammering. The least we can do in order to respect the process is abide by the requirement that we sit there and keep our mouths shut. You know, I'm beginning to like this impeachment a lot more. I really am. I'm thinking, let's do impeachment forever and ever. Sit there, shut your mouth, just listen to the American public. But in this case, they're having to listen to prosecutors, Democrats, present a fictitious case, trying to build a fictitious argument about a fictitious indictment and so forth and so on. Might as well read one of the latest thriller books or something, because there's nothing going to be thrilling about this other than just, yeah. Now, Republican John Cornyn of Texas said, it's going to be a new experience for a lot of my colleagues not to be able to talk, not to be able to consult our email or text messages, but we'll live through it. We'll be all right. He's correct. But again, on that Saturdays, that's the thing that's going to upset a lot of them. Working Saturdays? They like to leave Washington at noon Friday, 1 o'clock, 2:30, 3 at the latest, but you got to stay there Saturday? That's right. So it all begins to kick off tomorrow. Nancy Pelosi, in the beginning, of course, when they took the vote, very somber. This is a very serious thing here. Don't even smile. Don't giggle. But when it came to signing the impeachment article, signing, laughing, handing off pens, souvenirs and so forth. And of course, she had indicated, as have other Democrats, this is going to last for a long time against this president. Senator Dick Durbin, Illinois Democrat, said yesterday on Meet the Press, I hope Republican senators knew that history would find them based on how they vote on Donald Trump's impeachment trial. He said, history will judge you, Republican senators. They will find you. Make certain you make a decision you can live with in terms of your Constitution, our Constitution, and your professional career. Senator Durbin, that goes two ways. That goes two ways. I want to make sure the American public, after this charade, finds you and make sure you don't get reelected, and history will judge you for what you did in all of this. Want to take a moment to tell you how Puerto Rico now proves President Trump was right.
One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You remember, of course, after the Puerto Rico disaster when Hurricane Maria hit, and the U.S. was doing what it could, as much as we could. Of course, being an island, we couldn't simply truck supplies there. We had to fly them in, get an airport ready where we could, had to send boats and so forth. The governor of Puerto Rico at that time praised President Trump for his response to the disaster, saying, and I'm quoting, "The president and the administration, every time we ask them to execute, they've executed quickly." So the president was doing what was needed, the best they could at that time. And that was a devastating, devastating hurricane for the entire region, especially Puerto Rico. I mean, power was out across the island, homes destroyed. And even now, some homes apparently might not be fully back. And then, of course, they had the quakes the other day that caused a little bit more concern. But what we saw, once there was a change in the governorship, and, of course, at the time, even then, the mayor of Puerto Rico, being a Democrat, was constantly chastising and accusing President Trump of not doing enough. Always saying, "You're not sending us stuff. You're not doing anything. You're slow to react." In other words, she was parroting what many in this country wanted to say. They wanted to make this his Katrina, blaming Bush for Katrina. Remember when he did a flyover looking down from Air Force One and they said, "Oh, that's great." Well, the president knows if I arrive on the scene, rescue and support personnel that are needed elsewhere are going to have to be rediverted to protect me and other things of that nature. So it was not a good time to go. But that aside, it was just an opportune time for them to criticize President Bush. So then, we've got the hurricane hitting, and everybody's looking for Trump to make a big, big mistake. He didn't, according to the Puerto Rican governor at the time. They did everything we asked. Every time we asked, they did. But now you got the issue with the mayor and others. Remember video surfaced of pallets of water sitting out at the airport, not being dispersed when people were looking for water? And then the other day, as I point out, they had this quake. 2 weeks ago, they had a 6-point quake hit. The new Puerto Rican governor has seen evidence that there have been warehouses stocked with bedding, food, and medical supplies for 2 years since that earthquake, since a hurricane. 2 years has been sitting there, emergency supplies unused, left over from Hurricane Maria. And it was made evident when folks started breaking into the warehouse and finding it. So the governor ended up dismissing the Housing Secretary of Puerto Rico, and Department of Family Secretary, all fired. Previously had fired the Director of Puerto Rico's Office of Emergency Management, after residents were shown breaking into the warehouse, taking these supplies and distributing them because nothing was being delivered as they needed it. The warehouse is filled with water bottles, cots, baby food, other supplies, all sitting there since Hurricane Maria hit September 2017, when again the mayor of Puerto Rico was saying, "We don't have enough. We don't know by sense anything. You had it. You did not disperse it to your people." And now they're trying to claim, that stuff now has been sitting in this warehouse and it hasn't been destroyed because it's a past due date. Is there a past due date on cots? Is there a past due date on baby wipes or diapers? I don't know if there's a past due date on all that food that they say was in there. Some of it may still be good. Some of it maybe not. And the water, would there really be a past due date on water in a warehouse? If it got hot, I know there are concerns that you get a plastic bottle hot and drinking the water out of it, it's not good for you. But when you're thirsty, do you think you're going to give a damn if it's past due date or not, if it's water? And now they're finding all this stuff was sitting there. And so all these who are crying out that President Trump was ignoring us and leaving us to suffer, you had supplies. You had them on the airfield strips. You left them there. You had them in a warehouse for 2 years. You didn't use them then. And then you've been trying to hold them out again. All of this coming is the president's trying to decide how much more money do we send down there. And if we send it, are they going to properly use it? So they are getting rid of some of the agencies and agents, I should say, in Puerto Rico that are responsible for all of this. But at the same time, the Department of Housing and Urban Development agreeing to release an additional $8 billion in aid to Puerto Rico, but there had been a hold placed on the money over concerns of mismanagement. Now there's some proper financial controls in place. Apparently, they're going to go ahead and release more. Can never do enough. He can never do enough. He will never be able to do enough as long as he's in office. They will go after it. Coming up in the next hour, two candidates selected by the New York Times to be the president. Two Democrats. You talk about chaos. And it's just beginning. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.